This is Scott Becker with the Becker's Healthcare Podcast. We've got one of our favorite guests on today who always has lots of opinions. Often they are very thoughtful. We've got Nate Kaufman today. Nate, we're going to talk about insurance pre-authorizations and more. Can you take a moment to introduce yourself?
Sure. I'm Nate Kaufman. I'm based in San Diego. I have a consulting practice. I work on transactions. I work on strategy. And I also negotiate with health insurance companies on behalf of providers.
Thank you. And Nate, you've written a lot about concerns regarding insurance companies and their prior authorization processes. Can you take a moment and discuss what your concerns and thoughts are?
Sure. Today in our country, we're protesting because there's consensus that certain professions have abused their position of authority. And this abuse infringes on people's rights and it hurts people. And when I look at how health insurance companies have exercised their authority to authorize or deny care, and what doctors report on how this pre-authorization process has impacted their patients, it's clear to me that the health insurance companies are interfering with the practice of medicine and, in fact, causing harm to patients.
And talk about data. You talk about prior authorizations. Aren't prior authorizations needed to avoid abuse of procedures so we don't have too many procedures done, so we don't spend too much money in healthcare? Isn't there a need for prior authorization? What does the data show on some of these issues?
Well, yeah, there's a need, just like there's a need for police and there's a need for other things, but it's gotten to a point of abuse. According to the MGMA, there's approximately 182 million commercial prior authorization transactions per year. And this number is growing exponentially. In recent surveys conducted by the AMA, 28%, almost 30% of all physicians said the prior authorization process has led to serious harm to some of their patients. And in a survey just released, 16% of the physicians said that the prior authorization process led to unnecessary hospitalization for some of their patients. So it's gotten out of hand.
And why has it gotten out of hand? What is sort of causing this?
Well, as you know, Scott, medical care is time sensitive, and prior authorization takes time. Almost all the respondents report that prior authorization delays necessary care. Some said they waited as much as 3 business days or longer for a response. And in many cases, you get a denial. And once you get a denial, it can take weeks. I'll tell you a story about my wife. The medication she was prescribed, the generic version causes her to be nauseous. So she went through a process with our new health plan, Blue Shield, and it took 6 weeks to go through this kabuki process of appeals in order to be denied. At the end of the day, we ended up having to pay cash for the brand name drug. What's interesting is our 2 previous health plans actually determined that the brand name drug was medically necessary. So it's a huge problem. Once you have to go through that process, it's time consuming, and usually you do not get approved. The surveys also showed that virtually all of the physicians in the AMA survey said that prior authorization has harmed clinical outcomes for their patients. And most said that because of prior authorization, many of their patients don't get their optimal recommended course of treatment. And not only that, by the way, prior authorization takes time away from patient care and it adds cost to the medical practice. The physicians and staff said that on average, they spend over 14 hours a week obtaining prior authorization from the insurance companies, and the number of prior authorizations per doctor average over 33 per physician per week. And many of these are rejected on the first round, and they require an appeal. So not only does it harm patients, but it takes time away from physician practice and adds cost to those practices. No wonder so many physicians are burning out. and leaving private practice and going to a safe haven like joining health systems where this can be done by others?
I know you believe that the process has been abused by insurance companies. Take a moment. Any other concerns regarding prior authorizations? Anything else?
Well, I think there's also a conflict of interest. I hope everybody will get a chance to go online and look at this video put out by Kaiser Foundation. It's called Drug Rebates Explained. In that video, they talk about the insurance companies and how they receive rebates from the drug manufacturer for using a particular drug over its competitor. These, on average, by the way, these rebates represent about 28% of the cost of the drug. These are big numbers. So the insurance companies are the ones that do pre-authorization for medications. And so what we don't know is when we ask for a pre-authorization for a medication, we don't know if the insurance companies are approving or denying these medications because of the amount of rebates they're getting from the drug manufacturer, but they never disclose whether they have a conflict or of interest or not. So again, this is a concern for patients and a concern for physicians as well.
You're an outspoken advocate on behalf of providers against insurance companies, particularly on this issue of prior authorizations. Nate, any other final thoughts you have on this issue that you want to share with the audience? And I appreciate you joining us so much today, always to the point, concise, intelligent. Any final thoughts?
Well, I got a bunch, so let me go through them kind of rapidly. One knucklehead on LinkedIn said that the patients can still get the care if they pay for it themselves if they're denied. But the fact is that most people can't afford to do that. And they say that, well, you know, you can always appeal. Well, like any self-policing function, the health insurance appeals process is time-consuming and it's slanted towards the insurance companies. It turns out that from the data on ACA plans, only 0.5% of denials are actually appealed. And of that, it turns out that the success rate for appeals is 14%. And speaking of ACA plans, here's a fun fact for you, Scott. The average denial rate of claims for ACA plans across the country is 18%. Almost 20% of all claims are denied by the insurance companies, which means either the patient has to appeal and they don't, patient has to pay the provider, or the provider gets stiffed. Now, think about it. How important are rates when 20% of the claims are actually denied? Now, I'm not the only one who's concerned about this, by the way. In 2019, a federal judge, Judge Joseph Spiro, blasted one of the nation's largest insurance companies because he said that they were essentially devising a scheme to systematically deny mental health care to their enrollees using the veil of medical necessity. The judge also charged the medical experts employed by the insurance companies for lacking credibility and essentially doing what their business bosses said. Another federal judge who's kind of famous, a D.C. judge, Judge Amy Berman Jackson, characterized another multi-state, very large for-profit insurance company who was claiming altruism, saying their primary interest was low-cost quality care for their patients. The judge said that that really wasn't true. Her conclusion after a long trial was the insurance company comes to healthcare, quote, healthcare economics from the perspective of its own profit maximizing interest and the interests of its shareholders. Two other points I'd like to make about this. Another example is a recent study by the Institute for Patient Access. They looked at little infants who go home with a respiratory disease. 25% of those infants who needed a drug their request for that prescription was denied. And finally, a busy surgeon, world-class spine surgeon who I talked to just the other day, said when he goes and requests pre-authorization, which is for almost every case, he never talks to another spine surgeon. He talks to a pediatrician or a primary care physician, none of whom have any knowledge of the nuances of his case. So the system is broken. Patients are being hurt. And really, the practice of medicine has been hijacked by the insurance companies. And as a patient, now that I'm 66 years old, I'm particularly concerned that the people that are who are examining me and know what's best for me are not the ones that are making decisions on whether I can get the care that I need.
Nate, fantastic as always. I want to thank you for joining the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, Nate Kaufman. Nate, where can people learn more about you or find you if they want to get in touch with you?
Sure. My website is www.kaufmansa.com. That's probably the best way to reach me. I have all of my Becker's podcasts on there. And I just hope, by the way, that organized medicine will finally recognize that they better hurry up and deal with this issue aggressively, if not for themselves, for our patients, because it's getting pretty late in the game. Scott, I really appreciate you taking the time and listening to another one of my rants, and I hope people will also go on LinkedIn and follow me there.
Nate, thank you very much. Always interesting, always a pleasure, always thoughtful. We appreciate you joining us so much.
Thank you.